It is time for Cover Your Assets. It's time to bring in Jim Lynch. Jim is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, sports, and of course business. But we like to have some funny business here as well. Good morning, Jim, and welcome on the air again.
And again, thank you so much for having me. Now let's get to the monkey business. See, I got you laughing there. Anyhow, here's the deal. It's let's talk very, very basic. Let's talk Social Security. The current incumbent in the White House has been talking up cutting payroll taxes. And this is rather dangerous in that your Social Security is funded by payroll taxes. They take money out from your check, and they take money from your employer. So if indeed we would have this ridiculous thing happen, you would find that Social Security would go into more of a deficit. And if this were to continue, Social Security might deteriorate. I don't want to get overly dramatic here, but at least it would deteriorate. It would be dangerous for this to happen. Now, the significance of this is the obvious, the loss of something that has become part of our well-being financially since Franklin Delano Roosevelt got us out of the Great Depression of the 30s. The current president, who I might soon have to call President Death, wants to basically do something very irresponsible. Now, I know he's stupid. Maybe you don't know he's stupid. I think we all know he's malevolent, he's evil. But the point is, wake up, wake up. And when you hear this idea of, oh, Biden's socialist, please remember that so many of the benefits that you get, health care, et cetera, come from a government that is for the people. Now, if a government is for the people and it's socialistic, so be it. That gives you life, it gives you health, it gives you schools, it gives you a fire department, a police department, a military, and on it goes. Please, America, wake up. The second thing is we had what I thought was a rather embarrassing display of stupidity on the part of the Postmaster General. DeJoy is his name. Can you imagine a name like DeJoy as a reaper of ill, which he's been doing? But the thing is, Katie Moore, a Democrat from California, on the committee questioning him, basically danced him around a few times and made him confess he really didn't know how to post his postal system worked. And he didn't know it from A to Z. And in addition, upon very strong questioning from other members of the House, he could not come up with the game plan that they used in making all these changes. So here we have two things happening to us caused by the Trump administration, which is definitely hurting our freedom, our health, and our well-being. And so please take note of that. And though there's a lot of shrillness coming out of the Republican convention, that's demagoguery. It's got nothing to do with your health and well-being. And I think we really might take a lesson in comparing the Democratic convention to the Republican convention and just realize that the Democratic convention basically looks to help and service and manage most of the population. The Republican basically looks for a man without a plan, President Trump, to just basically say, oh, I'm going to do it and take over. Well, he's done it all right. He gave us a pandemic. We could be going on a depression. We're doing without the Postal Service. We're doing without a lot of services because of his cutting back on the government, such as pollution control, water control, and so forth. So These are very, very, very serious times, and your vote is going to be very, very important. The votes are going to basically decide whether we're going to go forward as the United States of America, or we're just going to fall behind further the rest of the world and become a society dominated by authoritarianism and greed. Anyhow, on that bright note, what do you say?
Well, you know, I say that what I have, what I've been...
Marshall, I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now? I mean, it's strange. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, tune it up a little bit.
Okay, how about now?
I got it now. I got it.
All right. My whole thing is I'm a true progressive. I'm a true democratic socialist, and Joe Biden is no democratic socialist. Joe Biden is not as mainstream as he used to be, but that's simply because times change. And if you're in the political positions that he's been in over many years, your positions change, or else you will fall by the wayside. So that's the first thing. The second thing to look at here is the way that these conventions are being run, and what's behind them. If you look at the Democratic convention, to be quite honest with you, as a virtual convention, it wasn't that bad. They had a lot of different speakers. Now, a lot of people on the progressive side of the Democratic Party were upset that that Republican spoke. I'm not upset. I think that the Democrats presented the progressive wing of the party, the Democratic Socialist wing of the party, the moderate side of the party, and they presented also some Republicans, and there's quite a few who have been in government for a while, to back up the fact that it is indeed an important time for a change. When you go over and you flip over to the Republican convention, it is not really a Republican convention. It is in name only. It is a Donald Trump convention. And I'm not going to criticize him for this. He got elected being Donald Trump, and some other reasons, and he has basically turned the Republican Party as it stands now into his party. So yes, you'll have him and his family speaking every night, and some very weird speakers, in my opinion. But he has taken this convention in a different way. This is, of course, the kickoff to the campaign. I think there's like 70 days left until the election. But what's interesting, what you bring up, is something that not enough people have been talking about, and that is, if you have a cut in Social Security taxes, sooner or later, someone in the government is going to claim, well, we can't continue to fund Social Security, so that program will go by the wayside. I mean, look what's happening with the United States Postal Service. We all know that some people would like the government to get out of the Postal Service business and to hire private contractors like they did in prisons. Well, you see how well that's worked out in prisons. It hasn't worked out well at all. And there's one thing, there's two organizations that really know, I'll say three now, three organizations that really know how to move things from point A to point B. One is Amazon. One is the military, the United States military. Nobody can move things with the speed and the accuracy of the U.S. military. Two is the post office, and three is Amazon and FedEx. I would much rather have a quasi-public utility like the United States Postal Service, which employs local people. I mean, you go to the post office here in Sharon, local people. You go to the post office in Salisbury, local people. Cornwall, local people. It is an organization that has been built from the ground up. And does it have some flaws? Yeah, everything that becomes huge has some flaws. But if you speak to 99.9% of the people, they're very happy with the Postal Service. And why are they happy with the Postal Service? Because they deal with local people. They're not dealing with somebody high up on 15 telephone calls away. This is a big mistake that's being made, and it's the same thing that's going on with Social Security. If you take away the funding from Social Security, you're not going to have it. Just like the United States Postal Service. They're the only agency that has to totally prove that they can fund their pensions 20, 25 years out. Not even the U.S. Congress does that. So it always appears like the Postal Service is in problems. And it's not. They make a lot of money, but they have to spend a lot of money and put a lot of money away.
Very well said in terms of the pension. Very well said in terms of the longevity of a workforce. Locally and nationwide, and very well said about the service that is provided. One area that it's incredible to me has been so conveniently overlooked in this whole postal problem is rural America, which lacks broadband, and the mail gets delivered, as has been said several times in the last couple of weeks, to every address in America. So if you're in a little backwater town of 2,500 people, you are going to get your mail. You are going to get your mail. And those people rely on the mail as a lifeline to everything. Be it their pension check, their forms for filling out for the government or for the state and local, their orders for their businesses, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It is a lifeline, and it's really a lifeline, particularly to most of America, that really cannot depend on other things, such as FedEx, UPS. Okay, they might go to these districts, but the cost will be incredible. The timing will be not so good, not so keen, whereas the post office is always on the job. And, you know, this I can't accentuate enough. The post office is in the Constitution of the United States. It stated there will be a post office. And why was that? Because this was a connection to all of the citizens in a democracy. And, you know, we take things for granted as time goes by. This is so, so crucial. If we didn't have this very cheap way of getting information and orders and et cetera, we'd be like on a desert. So people really should take to heart and think about and talk to neighbors, write to your congressman and so forth, but for no other reason than to take the discipline to recognize what you have here. It is a jewel, an absolute jewel.
And like anything that has so many working parts, I think what makes the post office successful, and it goes back to the Pony Express days really, is that it is built on the local branch and up. And it's not just a governmental agency, it's a quasi-governmental agency. And I think that's what makes it work so well.
No question about it. When you go to a post office, you don't run into a bureaucracy. Oh, let me get Joe. Let me make a call. The person there takes care of you. It might be complicated in what you're asking them to do, but they'll get on the case and they'll solve it for you. The postal people who I've known over the years, going there for packages or something, for some reason or another, considering the pressure they're under, they manage to display a certain togetherness and a certain sharing, a certain let me help you, a can-do attitude that certainly makes life go a lot better, but sure gets things done in a way that's most efficient.
Well, okay, so now we've got the Republican convention will be wrapping up this week, and it's going to be it's going to be a campaign that is going to be basically energized, unfortunately, but it's the way it's going to have to be. Unfortunately, it's going to be energized by television. There's no doubt about it, and radio advertising. I mean, because there's no other way for these candidates to get the word out. There's no big rallies. There isn't anything like that. There might be some debates, even though I'm not so convinced that Donald Trump wants to debate Joe Biden, even though he calls him Sleepy Joe. There at most there'll be two or three debates. So this is going to be a very interesting. And then on top of that, you then add in the fact that there's going to be local voting, and there's also going to be mail-in ballots as well. This is really going to be a very interesting 70 days, Jim.
Well, I hope that Biden is prepared to take the gloves off, because if he takes the gloves off, he's going to have Trump on the ropes for every minute of the debate. And by taking the ropes off, it's like, why is it that six or seven of the people you brought to Washington are in jail? They've been indicted. Why is it that there are still 20 to 40 women who are going to file sexual assault charges when you're out of office? Why is it that New York State continues to investigate your finances? Those are pretty heady topics, and a lot of politicians shy from getting down into the dirt. But how can you shy from getting down in the dirt when the guy who throws the most dirt, that's his whole stock and trade? That's Donald Trump. So I share with you, particularly if Biden takes off the gloves, Trump is not going to know which side is up. Kamala Harris will do that and then some without throwing much shade at Biden. Not at Biden, but at Pence. Pence is basically an inept actor. He is a toady. He is a Trump accolade, a Trump enabler. And I think she'll just tear him apart. So
here's where I disagree.
I don't know what's going to happen, but I just want to say something to back up my comment on Biden going after him for his sexual proclivities. When Hillary Clinton debated Donald Trump, he had about 8 or 10 women in a box in the auditorium that he had invited, who had accused Bill Clinton of sexual improprieties. So what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
You know,
and I'd love to see him put into the dirt, because he deserves to be in the dirt.
I have to say, I really think the way Joe Biden is going to win.
I can't hear you.
I'd have to say that the only way I think that Joe Biden can actually win and win big is to simply to hit four different topics. One, the pandemic and how poorly it has been handled. That is just very, very, very huge. Two, the inept idea of cutting the Social Security funding, simply because if people get their Social Security payroll taxes cut, there's not going to be enough money for Social Security to continue. Three, the fact that even though Obamacare is still around in some sort of way, the Affordable Health Care Act, after 3 years in office, after 4 years fighting it before that, there still is no replacement plan in the works at all, or improvement at all. There is no long-term medical care plan for people in this country. And then something that's very important to me that I think that people should know is that if you look at the stock market today, it has gone up high. Why has it gone up high? Because the president once again was pushing about AstraZeneca and about their possible vaccine. Well, that pumped the stock market up. I think if Joe Biden were to actually go and campaign on these four or five issues throughout the country, I think he'd have a better chance to win. Now, we only have about a minute left here, so I'll let you get the final punching words in here, Jim.
Well, I agree with all your points. And I'm very hopeful that Joe, who looks like he's in tip-top shape, will be ready to go as many rounds as need be to become the next president of the United States and restore the dignity and respect of this great country. That said, I wish you all a great week. Stay well. Keep your psychology up. We'll get through this. We'll talk to you.
All right, Jim. Take care.
You too.
Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets this morning here on Robinhood Radio.